Morning. We'll be in Matthew chapter 5 today. Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 through 37. Would like to mention that there are several different gospel meetings that are in the area in the next week or two. Those are either posted on the bulletin board or they are on the Facebook page. So if you go to the Facebook page, I've posted a lot of those announcements there. Brownlee Reeves is going to be in South Columbiana, who held our last meeting for us here. He'll be in South Columbiana, I believe, this week or next week. I don't remember which one, but check the Facebook page. It's on there, and I believe he'll be doing similar series to what he did here, and so I'm sure that they would appreciate your support if you could go to that meeting. Here we come in Matthew chapter 5 to a section on truthfulness. And Jesus is addressing to the teachers of the law, namely the Pharisees, who are incorrectly teaching, misapplying the law of Moses. And as we've seen so far in our study, Jesus is correcting these errors and showing that the heart needed to change, and that the heart needed to be in play instead of just outward motions, but actually things that need to be corrected in the mind that would show up in the way that they lived and the things that they did. So the standard of God's law is something that was very high, and they needed to realize that. So in Matthew chapter 5, verse 33, he says, "Again, you have heard that it was said of those of old, 'You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn.'" So Jesus is quoting here what the teachers are saying that the Lord declared. And so in this case, it appears that they are quoting the law, you know, pretty accurately. So if you go to Numbers chapter 30 and verse 2, Numbers chapter 30 and verse 2 says, "If a man vows a vow to the Lord or swears an oath to bind himself by a pledge, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth." Also in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 12, "You shall not swear by my name falsely and so profane the name of God. I am the Lord." And so if the teachers were saying you shall not swear falsely, that is certainly something that was according to God's will, that whatever it is that you say, you need to do that. The law did instruct the people to make vows and oaths by the name of the Lord. And you see that in these passages that we just read. And so the condemnation here is that they did not need to make a false oath. The condemnation is not against the oath, but against making an oath and not keeping that oath. And that certainly is echoed in the law in Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 20, "You shall fear the Lord your God, you shall serve him and hold fast to him, and by his name you shall swear." And so they needed to be truthful in what it is that they said. If they said something, they needed to keep that. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 35 through 36, so starting in verse 33, you get a sense here of what was going on in Jesus' day, that the law had been perverted, and this is very common in some of the things that were being done. They had gotten away from what it was the intent of the old law. Verse 33 says, "Again, you have heard it said to those of old, 'You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn.' But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say simply be yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil." So you get the sense here is that they had made this very complicated. That telling the truth had somehow gotten complicated. That they were taking oaths or making oaths by all these other things other than the name of the Lord, and it depended on what you were making the oath by as to whether or not you needed to keep the oath. And so if make oath by heaven or by earth or by Jerusalem or by their head. You know, we hear people today, you know, I swear on my mama's life, I swear on a stack of Bibles. And so this is the idea here that you see that there were different things in which they were invoking those names to make a promise or make an oath. And so when you look at the Jewish teachings, it becomes even clearer what was happening. I have some quotes here from the Mishnah. From the Mishnah, it was a collection of historic rabbinical teachings. And it says, if a man said, I adjure you, or I command you, or I bind you, they are liable. But if he said, by heaven and earth, they are exempt. And if he says, may it be by Jerusalem, he has said not. If a man takes an oath before his fellow, and his fellow said to him, vow to me by the life of your head, it says he may retract. One rabbi says, if any swear by heaven, by earth, by the sun, although the mind of the swearer may be under these words to swear by him who created him, yet this is not an oath, or is any swear by some of the prophets or by some of the books of the scripture, although the sense of the swearer to be swear by him he that sent the prophet or gave that book, nevertheless, this is not an oath. And so that's very hard to follow, isn't it? But you get the idea here that they have made this very complicated, that you know, when you made a statement, it depended on how you made that statement, whether or not you had to keep that word. One Jewish commentary argued that a vow made by Jerusalem was non-binding, but a vow made toward Jerusalem, facing Jerusalem when you said it, then that was binding. Michael mentioned the Essenes this morning, and Josephus said that the Essenes, who were, you know, very rigorous about avoiding oaths, said any word of theirs has more force than an oath. Swearing they avoid, regarding it as worse than perjury, for they say one who is not believed without an appeal to God stands condemned already. And so this group was not going to make an oath at all. But, you know, Jesus gives us clarity on this, because clearly there is no clarity here in what it is that the Jews were practicing. So in Matthew chapter 23, Jesus makes all this unclearness clear. He says in verse 16 of Matthew 23, woe to you blind guides who say if someone swears by the temple, it is nothing. But if someone swears by the gold of the temple, he is bound by his oath. You blind fools, for which is greater, the gold of the temple that has made the gold sacred? And you say if anyone swears by the altar, it is nothing. But if anyone swears by the gift that is on the altar, he is bound by his oath. You blind men, for which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? So whoever swears by the altar swears by it and everything on it. And whoever swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. And whoever swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits upon it. And so now you kind of get an idea of what it is that's happening here in the first century. You know, they read the command in Leviticus chapter 12 and in Numbers chapter 20 to mean that if you made an oath to the Lord, then you need to keep that oath. But if you, and you keep what you vow, but if you made your oath based on something else, someone else or something else, then you don't make your vow to the Lord, and then your word can be broken. It kind of reminds me of when we were kids and you know, with your friends, you would make some kind of solemn promise, and sometimes they'd make a pinky swear. But what would happen is that somebody would say that they're going to do something, and behind their back they've crossed their fingers. And you know what that means when you cross your fingers, is that you don't have to do anything that you said that you would do because you had your fingers crossed. So we as kids thought that having our fingers crossed meant that, you know, we're exempt from whatever it is that we were promising. That seems kind of silly, doesn't it? But that's exactly what was going on here. You know, they're not talking about having their fingers crossed. They're saying, well, if I swear by this or make an oath by this, then I have to keep my word. But if I do it this, you know, so it depended on what they were invoking, what power or what thing or what portion of a thing they were invoking. That's what mattered, and that's what meant if they had to keep their promise or not. So these vows are, if they're made by something other than the name of the Lord, then you're allowed to break the oath. And so that's what Jesus here in Matthew chapter 5 is condemning. He's saying, do not take an oath by heaven if that's going to relinquish your need to keep what you vow. And don't take an oath by the earth, because the earth is the footstool of God. Don't take an oath by Jerusalem, because it's the city of the great King. Don't take an oath by your head, because you can't make the hair of your head white or black. Don't make an oath because to give you some way out of your vow in the future. Now, I've seen cartoons before of a husband and wife that are making their vows to each other on their wedding day, and both of them have their fingers crossed behind their back. You know, that's silly and that's disturbing. But what God is saying here is don't be crossing your fingers. Don't any of these things that you're invoking, whether it be Jerusalem or the hair of your head or the gold in the temple, all that is God's anyway. That there's no difference in how you should keep your word based on what you're invoking. Jerusalem belongs to God. Heaven and earth belong to God. What's in the temple belongs to God. The hair on your head belongs to God. You're not going to be able to get out of your promise just because you did not swear by the name of the Lord, because everything is God's, and therefore everything that you say is binding. Your oath needs to be binding. So there's nothing you can take an oath by, or some action you can take, like crossing your fingers, that means that you can violate what you promised. In simple language, just tell the truth. Keep your promises. That's what God is saying. That's what Jesus is saying. That all of these man-made rules about, you know, whether or not you can lie in certain conditions is silly. So in Matthew chapter 5 here in verse 37, Matthew chapter 5 in verse 37, Jesus says, let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than that comes from evil. And so that's God's law. Let your yes be yes, and let your no be no. And this is what God was teaching. God's people are to be truthful. And this is not something that's new. This is not something that was revolutionary. But it's something that certainly got perverted by those that were teaching in Jesus' day. This was not something that Jesus was bringing to the table that had not been taught before. It's talked quite a bit in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 and 17. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. So God's people are to be truthful. It's always been that way. They are to be truthful. God hates deception. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight. So what was the purpose of an oath? What is the purpose of an oath? Well, it was meant to be a guarantee that a promise was going to be fulfilled. You know, we have different ways of doing that today. You know, people will sign on the dotted line. When you sign something, it means that you are committed to that. And, you know, the Jews here, what were they doing? Well, if an oath was a guarantee that a promise was going to be fulfilled, the Jews were using oaths in a way to avoid what was promised, to avoid fulfilling what they said that they would do. So the oath would be made in a certain way. It really does seem ridiculous that anybody would trust anybody that made an oath if they didn't make it in what the Jews considered the right way. The oaths used to get out of what they said they would do, but God's people are not to be that way. God's people are, their speech is to be a yes is a yes and a no is a no. That your speech can be trusted. You know, we've heard the term used today that, you know, back in the old days, just a firm handshake, you know, a handshake deal would be enough for some people. But then when you think about it, you know, the handshake kind of took the place of the signature or the contract. So still there's this physical thing that's being done that's saying, yes, I'm going to do what it is that I said that I would do. But the thing that we need to remember is that God tells us that every word that we say is going to be brought in to judgment. We'll be judged. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. So every word that we utter to God is subject to judgment, including these oaths and promises. A simple yes or no, it puts us under a lot of obligation. We need to tell the truth and honor it. And we know that God is bound by His Word because it tells us that God, it's impossible for God to lie. And once He says something, you know, that certainly is bound. But what it says here is that God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of His purpose. He wanted Abraham and his descendants to know that he was going to keep this promise. And we read in other places, Luke and Acts 2, that God made oaths to His people, and He keeps those, and He always keeps His word. And our word needs to be binding. Our yes needs to be yes, and our no needs to be no. And we don't get to avoid obligations just because we didn't make an oath or we didn't say something in the right way. And one thing that I do want to address here is that Jesus says don't take an oath at all. And, James also says the same thing in James chapter 12. Or James chapter 4, James chapter 5, verse 12, is the point here is that nobody should ever make an oath or nobody should ever make a promise. Well, you know, God made oaths, and they're in the Old Testament we see that they were told to do that, and they were to keep those things. In Numbers chapter 30, verse 2, it says, when a man makes a vow to the Lord or takes an oath to obligate himself by a pledge, he must not break his word, but he must do everything that he said. Leviticus chapter 5, verse 4 says, if a person thoughtlessly takes an oath to do anything, whether good or evil, in any matter one might carelessly swear about, even though he is unaware of it, in case when he learns of it, he will be guilty. Joshua chapter 2, verse 20 says, but if you tell me, or if you tell what we are doing and be released from an oath, you made us swear. So you see here, the oaths that were taken, you were told to keep those. But when you look at the scriptures and you look at what Jesus said here and you look at what James said in James chapter 5, generally the taking of oaths is talked about negatively by James and Jesus. But you also see here, as we've already pointed out, that God swore oaths and God's people swore oaths and God's law under Moses legislated oaths. So that seems to indicate that there's more here than a blanket prohibition against making a promise. And so when I think about taking an oath, you know, one is the oath where somebody is affirming before God what they will do. They're vowing to complete an action. And that's generally what we do when we get married, when we take a vow, when we make a vow to one another and before God to be husband and wife and to be true to one another. And so that's one way of looking at this. The other type of oath is when somebody is calling on a higher power other than themselves to testify that they are telling the truth. And, you know, you've probably known, and I've known people that are ready to swear an oath at the least, you know, provocation. I swear on a stack of Bibles that so-and-so is true. And it's usually somebody that's not very truthful that is saying those things, ironically. That the person that always feels a need to swear, I swear on my mother's life, I swear on a stack of Bibles or whatever it might be, that those are ones that generally you don't trust anything that they say. That they don't have a reputation for honesty, because people that have a reputation for honesty don't have to swear to affirm that they are telling the truth. And so here in Matthew 23, Jesus describes the folly of the Jews of the day and how they swore by these oaths. And they created this complex system to determine when an oath was binding. Sometimes it's binding, sometimes it's not. And that system is foolish, and Jesus is condemning that. But we also, there's room for disagreement on this subject, and I know that sometimes, people do have disagreements about whether or not you can take a vow, or whether or not you can say a vow, or whether or not you can take an oath when you go into office, for example. I'll tell you, my conviction on this is that Jesus was not talking about taking an oath for a solemn occasion, such as a wedding or taking an oath of office. But what the brethren here were doing in this day was so complex that they were trying to find a way not to tell the truth. You see, in Acts chapter 21, if you remember, some of the brethren in Jerusalem were talking to Paul, and it said and said in verse 23 of Acts chapter 21, we have four men who have taken a vow. And what did Paul do? Well, what they wanted was Paul to help them finish the ceremony to keep their vows, to complete their vows. And we don't see that Paul objected. Well, no, you can't take a vow here and object to that. But Paul was even willing to help them pay their expenses to do that. And so I think that it shows that since Paul did not condemn the action but was actually participating in it, that this was not the sort of thing that Jesus was condemning. Jesus was not condemning people keeping their vows. He was condemning those who were swearing by different things and trying to find a loophole not to tell the truth. Jesus is teaching people to tell the truth and quit making excuses for not doing it. And so I believe that is the context of what we see in Matthew chapter 5 and also in Matthew chapter 23. That is what Jesus and James are telling us to avoid. Avoid lying. Avoid making complex systems to help you lie. And so making a vow is something that should not be entered into lightly. When you do that, it's before God. You are expected to fulfill it. You are expected to keep your word. And so that's what Jesus is telling us here in Matthew chapter 5. That have the character that when you tell somebody something, that they don't have, well, Randy, are you going to swear on the Bible when you say that? Or, if somebody is asking you to behave in a different way than what you normally behave because they don't deem you trustworthy, then you have a problem, don't you? Because they don't trust you. And I know that we live in a society today where, you can sign something electronically now, or you can sign something and if you have signed something that you didn't read, then you're obligated to it because you put your name on it. And I know that when we install a piece of software, we all read everything that says when we click on the I agree to the user agreement. But what that's saying is that I know what this says and that I agree to it. And what happens if you would happen to go to court over that? If you didn't understand what it is that you agreed to, they'd say you agreed to that because you put your name on it. And what's happening here in Matthew chapter 5 and in Matthew chapter 23 is that people were trying to decide, if I cross my fingers, then I don't really have to keep that agreement. Or if I swear by my mother, or I swear by the temple, or if I swear by the gold in the temple, there's different levels of lying that I can do. And Jesus is just calling this out as being totally ridiculous, that your yes needs to be yes and your no needs to be no. And if you're a person that is trustworthy, then whatever it is that you say can be trusted. When you tell somebody something, they should be able to believe that. We should not have to convince people by altering our language to verify ourselves as being truthful. And especially among people that we know. If people are familiar with us, then they should know that we're truthful and that we're trustworthy. And we should always be honest. We should always be truthful. And we should do what it is that we say we would do. In our relationship, such as husband and wife, or in our relationship with God, you know, God uses himself as an example of one that was trustworthy. He made an oath. He made a covenant. He made a promise to his people. And his word was gold. He was going to do exactly what it is that he said he would do every time. And that's the way that we need to be. And that's what Jesus is telling his people. Don't come up with complex equations to help you get out of what it is that is your obligation. But your word is your bond, and that's what Jesus would have us to know, and that's what he taught. So I hope this will be useful to you and that you will be encouraged to make your word be your bond and to tell the truth and to live in such a way that others know that you are a Christian, and they can tell by that you are by the way that you behave and that you keep your word. We can help you in any way to be obedient to the gospel of Christ. We invite you to come while we stand and sing.